gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12. Phone number toll free for many. I don't understand. It's Tuesdays? Do we have a jingle for it's Tuesdays with Tugelsang? What
What do you want the Friday one?
No. John Tugelsang is here all 3 hours in the New York Bureau because he may not be able to do Friday.
Good morning,
John Tugelsang.
How y'all doing?
I understand you did a spectacular job filling in for me.
Thank you. I had a great time dragging the show down to my own level. It was a pleasure.
Awesome.
Go to France more often. I understand you had a fantastic time with your girlfriend in France.
What?
Girlfriend? I didn't hear the news.
I heard the news.
All right. By the way, everybody get it out of your system on the... Where is it? On Stephanie Miller Facebook?
Yeah.
Oh, for God's sakes, John. Well, you've already been doing them privately for quite some time.
Yes.
The age joke.
Doing what?
Age difference jokes.
Oh, no,
yes,
no,
because
no,
Lisa
no.
is, right now, 16 years younger. End of the month, 17. That's okay. Mm. I got it. You do the Facebook and the thing.
Yeah.
Because I understand, it's just a big time suck.
It is.
So I had to go in and check out the heckling this morning.
Yeah.
Because we posted pictures of my trip to France.
On the page? I didn't even know.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yes, I get it. Get it out of your system. Inspector, I think we have a clue in the case of the robbed cradle. Okay, I get it.
Oh, my.
There's a picture in front of me in front of Baby Dior in Paris, and that's where Steph met Lisa. Okay, I get it.
Look at all right. These. Yeah, mm-hmm. This is great.
By the way, can I just say, morally wrong on every level, Baby Dior? Have you seen? I literally, there was nobody in the store at the time because I was going to go in and go up to someone and go, you know, you could feed like 40,000 children in Africa for what this one outfit is going to cost you for your child that's going to outgrow it in like 2 months.
You know, America,
Baby Dior.
America has Baby Gap. France has Baby Dior.
Baby Dior. Oh, please. That was just wrong. And it's not where I met Lisa, so...
Really?
Shut up.
You met her at Baby Gap.
No, that's how you can... That's how you know, John, how that is when you're dating someone, and then you'll... So I actually put my face in the night... there's a cutout, and my face is in there, so that people could make Joan of Dork jokes and things like that. It's the things you do. When you love somebody, it's like, of course I'll put my face in this stupid cutout of a knight so I look like an idiot.
So you've pretty much convinced France to be more right-wing by going there, then.
Yes, exactly. No! What?
What?
I brought Chris a gift from the snottiest chocolatier in Paris.
Yes.
Are you happy?
Chocolatier.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
It's not a chocolatier when it's in France.
Yeah.
The snottiest chocolatier in all of France?
Yeah. Yeah, they're a little snooty. Yeah, I don't know why I have that sort of polite thing. Like, I had sampled before I went on the bike trip, and then we didn't get the chocolate till we came back.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason, I felt the need to tell the lady, I'm coming back in a week to buy gifts. I swear to God, I'm just not taking this.
They don't care.
No, she just wrinkled her nose like, I don't.
Oh, they went. Yeah.
She could have cared less, and she didn't believe me.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Well, she was probably so appalled at your cradle robbing.
You get in the penalty box
like,
as well.
You guys look the same. You guys don't look like there's an age difference.
Well, that's not good news for her, is it?
Well, that's because you've had extensive work done.
You shut up.
You both look fantastic, healthy people. And that's right. Because of the Church of Scientology. We can talk about that now, too, can't we? Can we reveal that?
What? That I'm a Scientologist?
Yeah.
Oh, John Fugelsang, stop making things up. You're such a well-known liar.
Yes, that couldn't be further from the truth.
You know, I don't know if you've ever been. I haven't been to Europe in like 30 years since the college, on $5 a day in the youth hostels on the Eurail Pass. So,
you haven't been there since the Euro.
Yeah. I don't even think Euro was there last time I was there.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah. But John Lisa did get a little peek, I think, into the elder care that she'll be. Because it's impossible to learn how to make the showers and baths work there. I don't know which knob is what. And so we couldn't figure out the in one place.
C is for show, which is hot in France.
Yeah, they learned that the hard way.
Okay, yeah.
Hello.
Yeah.
Ouch.
And F is froid, which is cold.
Anyway, but so I couldn't.
I should have gone with you guys like you invited me to. I don't know what I was thinking.
Yeah, I don't know why.
I missed a good time.
We would have been those people.
Finally, I make you laugh at that. That's the most absurd thing I could say.
We would have been those people that did the three-way in the in the bathroom and had to have fighter jets escort us to the airport. You people, get out of there. Did you hear that, John? On 9/11, what kind of idiots? They were having a three-way in an airplane bathroom, and fighter jets had to escort them to where?
That roofie's really worth, man, if that's what's going on.
Yeah. I joined the Mile High Club on this trip, just FYI.
What?
Really? What? I say it's a long flight. I've never done it before.
I thought you were private about your private life.
Not anymore, apparently.
I guess not.
Nope.
Wow.
Boy, wasn't it fun when she was miserable and alone, Chris?
Yeah. That was a better show. And now that she's not going to be an elderly shut-in anymore.
Now she's all happy.
It's
like Moonlighting Season 4. God,
no! I've jumped the shark. This is awful. Oh, man, there goes the whole elderly shut-in loser act. Oh, all right. No, let me know. But there still is an element of that. Oh, here's the elder care. So we were trying to, I had to wash my hair, and we couldn't figure out how to get the shower thing to work, so we had to do it in the bath. So she literally was like, had one arm, and she like was trying to. Okay, it really was. You had to be there, kind of thing.
Describe it slower and breathe heavier.
Okay. Oh, well, no, but that's going to be the sort of elder care, because I was just sort of flailing around in the bath. So she was holding me up by one arm. I was trying to, you know, rinse my hair. After, you know, washing my hair. No, it wasn't sexy. It was really it was like Olivia Soprano. It was just, it was throw mom from the train. It was just like, I don't let Grandma drown.
Owen, you don't have
Owen.
A cousin.
Owen, you clumsy poof.
Lisa, help me up. Grab onto my life call necklace.
I know. I'm sorry that I just took the hot out of that, but there you go. All right. Oh, here's
I'm falling and I can't get up.
Oh, my God.
Come change Mama's bad water. I had an accident again. That's how sexy it is. Oh, boy.
Oh, it's going to be a good show at Asheville.
Here's what I realize is the French are just as weird as we are. They're...
You figured that out?
Yeah.
You haven't seen their films?
We stayed at one. It really, literally, John, it was a trip of a lifetime. It was unbelievable. We stayed at, you'll see the pictures, castles. We stayed at,
Chateau.
Yeah, Loire Valley Chateau bike tour or something. I don't know.
Whatever.
Dear God, I was drunk for most of it, so I don't remember. But still, but there was this one, I swear to God, it was the French Neverland. You'll see, there's a picture, with the giant boots.
Yes.
Weird. And this woman and her husband, it's a Chateau de Riveau or something like that. It's like the French Neverland. There's pictures of them in like every room in the castle. And one of them, they're in their bedroom dressed like a lord and a lady. And she has a cheetah on a leash. And I was just like,
oh, my God.
And then in your room, there's pictures of her staring at you.
Meanwhile, in the third
world. There was a carousel. I swear to God, there's peacocks on the ground. It was just, you know what I'm saying.
Did you find out that peacocks are very, very loud birds?
I did.
Yes.
Indeed, I did.
Whoa.
Charming when you first get there in the middle of the night?
Not so much.
No.
Computer says no.
No. All right. John Fugel sang.
He's just thinking about you and Lisa.
He's just
what?
Weird.
I'm so glad you had a good time. I missed you so much.
I know. And I continue my tradition of getting people that are better than me to fill in, so there's a big danger of my losing the show.
Oh,
I'm not very bright, as we all know.
Of course, yeah.
I don't get the sucky fill-ins like Rush does. I get the email, wow, John is really good. Much better than you, in fact. Why don't you stay in France?
Delightful.
Things like that.
Yeah. Delightful. Yeah, I'm sure that happened.
Yeah.
I didn't get those emails.
All right.
I got the email saying just because I look like a lesbian doesn't mean I can host this show.
Yeah, exactly. Come on, everybody. I don't go on the Facebook much, and I was thinking, we have the smartest, funniest listeners ever.
We do.
I was picking up at a lot of the comments.
Exactly.
By the way, guess who you got a good review from?
Okay.
And speaking of smart, think you might know, Rachel Maddow's daddy.
Oh.
Yeah, let's see.
Rachel Maddow's daddy?
Yeah, he listens to the show.
Yeah, he writes me every day.
He listens to this show more than he watches his daughter's show.
I think so. We don't know that for sure.
I gave his daughter one of her first TV gigs when I did a pilot for ABC News.
You're kidding.
Wow.
And they said, who do you want for your panel? I said, there's this girl on Air America that I would really like to get. And so she came in.
Aww, even
when I called her girl.
This girl. It's this little girl.
I said woman, and I
this
pronounced it with a
This little girl on Air America. She'll probably never make anything of herself, but I'll try to help.
Did you hear what he said?
What?
I said this woman with a Y. That's
yes.
how I actually pronounce the Y.
You're such a feminist.
Woman.
I love you.
I'm such a
All
feminist.
Right,
I
writes,
leave the seat down in the men's room.
Steph, welcome back. You were sorely missed, though. I thought John Fugelsheim did a masterful job as your sub. Bob Mattel. And
wow.
Also, you're thrilled to be your early morning.
To return my phone calls.
For your early morning announcement about your personal life, congratulations, best wishes. I said, thanks, Bob. Love hearing from you. He wrote back in French, of course. Merci beaucoup, mademoiselle. This is something I can't read, and I wrote back, whatever, smart person, family. Whatever. Whatever.
That's French for you sitting next to this woman, Mr. Depardieu.
Whatever.
I dare say that was French and gay adjacent.
I don't even know what he said. After the merci beaucoups. All right, so the Republican debate last night.
Oh.
Wow.
Oh,
yes.
Let's
wow.
do it. Let's go there.
Let's do it. Let's.
Well, that was my favorite reality show, Trickle Down Idol.
Wow. First of all, I had seen snippets, but no, Rick Perry, what a smack.
Yeah, wow.
Wow. Was it like a... I don't even know what to call it. It's like a parallel universe, isn't it? It's like it's
so
bad to prevent cancer in young girls, and it's mm-hmm. somehow Social Security. I couldn't even follow that because Michelle Bachmann has said roughly the same thing Rick Perry has said in the past, right? Ponzi
yes.
scheme. It's a fraud. It's a whatever, right?
Yes, but now it's about Republicans pretending to care about Social Security.
Yes. Yeah.
So that's the funny part.
Yeah. Exactly. And nobody likes mittens.
You know, when a debate is so dark that you find yourself rooting for Mitt Romney, that's just, that's, yeah.
I know. And
I
God bless Ron Paul. He's the only one that points out all these jobs in Texas are bogus. He's from Texas. He's
yeah.
like, well, they're all government jobs, which is exactly what we have said.
One-third. He pointed out one-third of the jobs were actual
Yeah, Mr. Small Government.
Governor
Small Government, yeah.
And then the men in black came in to wipe the memories of all the audience after he said that.
Yes,
so,
exactly.
Yeah. But Ron Paul also said the most evil thing of the whole night. He won the both the most moral and the most evil award last night. He won the most moral award talking about the wars and using the word occupation, which he got booed for, but then he was the one that came around and said that if a guy's in a coma and can't pay for it, he should have thought about it in advance, and the crowd applauded him.
Yeah, they applauded that. As they did, you know, executions in Texas at the last debate. Just, yay for executing innocent people.
At the president's address last week, the GOP did not applaud the GI Bill or saving Medicare. When Obama brought up those two things, they didn't applaud for the GI Bill.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So lots to get to. We have crunchy audio goodness from the debate and much more. 18 minutes after the hour, it's Tuesdays with Fugelsheim.
What? Tuesdays with Fugelsheim?
On the Stephanie Miller Show.
Join the party. 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
Huh. Yeah. Yeah. Get up, baby.
Word.
20 word. 23 minutes. Yeah. Yeah.
All up in that.
Oh, boy. There are black people across the country slapping their foreheads right now. Please.
Face palm.
Please stop, lame-ass white people. 24 minutes after the hour, John Fugelsheim in the New York Bureau, sexy liberal, his bad self.
Good morning.
We are in the Los Angeles Bureau. By the way, sexy liberal news, we are coming to Asheville, North Carolina. That's important. Why, John?
That's huge.
Because it's nearing sellout. But number one, my 87-year-old Republican mom will be there, and Lisa, my girlfriend, will be there. So it's a big listen.
What?
Yeah, it's a whole thing. It's a whole mishpucha. It's a whole.
Lisa's been to others.
Yes.
She just wasn't your...
She was an unidentified blonde.
Blonde, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'll get to strike out with all three of you this way.
Awesome.
Lisa came to the show in Santa Fe, and in fact, even some photos of her accidentally got posted online.
Yes.
And people were like, oh, who's that beautiful woman there?
Sneaky bastard.
I took some great pictures of y'all.
Yeah, well... You know what? You're like, you have like a perv cam. I don't even know how you get the angles that you get.
It's art.
He's like the straight Mapplethorpe.
I lived in a...
I'm trying to get that camera up my cooter.
Oh, I'm packing it up. I'm not going to say anything funnier than that today. I lived in L.A. for like 10 years. You live in L.A. that long, you have to document beauty when you find it. And I began carrying cameras everywhere. So, yeah, so that's what I do. I just carry cameras where I go.
Yeah, I don't know. Jim said something pervy about the picture of Aisha Mee, and Lisa, something about Neapolitan ice cream and licking. I don't remember.
Uh-huh. Oh, that makes me a perv for taking it. That's at a restaurant. That was a very clean picture.
Mm. Tyson in North Carolina, where we're coming next Saturday, the 24th, for the Sexy Liberal Show. Hi, Tyson. Something important, by the way, going on in North Carolina Tyson wants to talk about. Hey, Ty.
Hey, Stephanie.
Hey.
How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
Oh, great. Well, I'm actually on route right now from Asheville to Raleigh. We're having a rally down there. They're trying to pass a anti-gay amendment, which North Carolina fortunately has been able to hold off for a long time, but of course we got the right-wing crazies in last election. So
yep.
Shocking.
I don't know what words I can say on the air to describe how I'm feeling about this, but I'm just livid.
Tyson, I got a heads up from Brian, our handsome and talented program director in Asheville last night. But as usual, Republicans they're not trying to win fair; they're trying to sneak this marriage amendment in under the guise of an agenda that doesn't say anything about the bill. It leaves nothing open to public comment.
And they didn't let anybody opposed to it speak about it.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Right. And they're also trying to put it in the primary vote instead of the general election vote, which is kind of interesting as well, because that we have Barack Obama already, so a lot of people aren't going to be turning out, at least not a lot of Democrats. So I guess they're expecting a larger Republican turnout for the primaries. So they're putting it in that vote, from what I'm understanding, instead of the general election.
And primaries tend to bring out the crazy right wing of the Republican Party.
Yeah.
Bad news.
Yeah. Tyson, when we were in Raleigh, Sexy Liberal, we gave money to North Carolina Equality. That was our cause there. So
thank you.
We're going to have a guest on today about this. So we are on it, and we will be there in solidarity next Saturday. So we'll hope to see you then.
I will be there.
Uh-huh.
I have my VIP tickets. Uh-huh. I'm so excited to see all of you. Love you all. So thank you so much. Let me.
I am
clenching my ass in anticipation of a grope. Right now.
Well, I'll just play like that for you. Oh, congratulations on your ex-sisterhood.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you.
That's funny.
Thank you. Thank you. All right. Mike in Chicago on the Republican debate. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Straps. Hey, Chris. Hey, John.
Hey,
the highlight or the low light of all time yesterday was Ron Paul when asked by Wolf Blitzer the health care question. What about the 30-year-old who's in good health and decides not to spend $200-$300 a month and gets injured and goes into a coma for 6 months? Are we supposed to let him die? And a major portion of the group yelled yes.
Yeah, yes. Did you hear people yell yes?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then when Ron Paul said so. When Ron Paul said so, they applauded him. I would have rather they asked that question to Mitt Romney. He was talking about HSAs, which are only good if you're like in your first job and you're in your 20s. Then the HSAs are fine. But for older people or real sick people, it's a savings account. And in this economy, who's not going to tap into that to save their lives and pay their rent?
Yeah. Mike, that's what I mean about it. Did you feel like you're watching Opposite World? You're like, this is how you feel so divided. You go, who are these people? You're having your own Seinfeld moment, right?
I couldn't believe it. I had a T-vote and I had to pause. My jaw was like wide open, and I had to call Mike Malloy. And his verbal razors were better than anyone.
Yeah, I hear you. I prescribe that myself often. Call Mike Malloy when you really need to just vent and
get angry.
Yeah. But, John, I think that's why we've been talking about this Sexy Liberal Show success. It's not us. I think it's this feeling that you watch these debates and people go, are you kidding me? Who are
exactly.
those people? Are those
you
people?
Are not alone, sane people. We're coming to your town.
Yeah, we're coming. All right, 29 minutes after the hour, right back with more Tuesdays with Fugelsang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
You are beautiful. You pop, sparkle, and buzz electric.
Aw.
That's R.E.M. That song's 20 years old this year.
Oh, my God. Oh, Yeah. Jeez, I'm old.
Me too.
No, 30, you're not.
Shut up. 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. John, people saying in studio with us all 3 hours, you may have jury duty Friday.
I may have jury duty Friday, even though I've been an L.A. resident for 10 years. They've been sending me notices for all these years in New York, so I'm going to go down there again with my California driver's license.
And see get out of it.
Oh, good. All right. We'll see Friday.
I usually do get out. I was once punched in the face by a drug dealer when I was a kid. I was breaking up a fight, and this guy was beating up a woman, and I interceded and got clocked in the face, and the cops had me press charges on assault 3, which means I'm never on any jury, but they keep calling me.
Awesome.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow, who knew that about John Fugelsang?
Yes.
You my hero.
I'm surprised Stephanie didn't make me make that up when I went for jury duty. She was so upset when I told her.
Yeah, I was upset to know that I can't fire him for that. All right. Well, I think it's all over now, John, because Rick Perry has the Orly Tate endorsement. She was rally out here for him, and with an I Heart Rick Perry sign, and they had a little chat with him.
Wow.
She told
Bobby Jindal the same day.
Mm-hmm. She told, right? Now it's all over but the shouting. Yep. Bobby Jindal, who apparently is a rising star. In the,
what?
Really?
Oh, yeah.
So
Bobby Jindal,
got?
Boy governor.
Mm. Rising star based on that spectacular speech. Well, my favorite part of it, I still have to say, it's your killer bit that you do, your Chris Matthews. But it was just before he even started speaking when he did the long walk, and Chris Matthews just went, oh, God. Yeah, Chris Matthews goes, oh, God.
I actually felt bad for the Republicans that night.
Well, everybody did.
When you leave Chris Matthews speechless, you know it's going to be a bad speech. Anyway, so yeah, Orly Tate said she told Rick Perry he will get Obama and will have him in prison for Social Security fraud, and said Rick Perry was receptive to her message. Tate's also told Think Progress she's pretty sure the Perry campaign will bring up the birth certificate issue, but their strategy is going to be to wait to use it at the last possible moment.
Yeah, I think she's right.
Hasn't that been settled?
No, there was a plane circling the event last night, tailing a banner saying, where's the real birth certificate? They're keeping it going for election year. There is a faction keeping this going, and let's pray they get a lot more
press. First of all, John Huntsman now is the second one. I can't remember who it was yesterday, Chris, that we mentioned. Said that Rick Perry is going to be their Barry Goldwater, compared to Dad and Goldwater's race. He compared him to Barry Goldwater. He said it could be 1964 all over again. That was John Huntsman yesterday. And this is someone else has said that, John, that it's and one of these polls kind of bears that out. Hang on, where's this one I just saw?
It's true.
Well, we'll see after last night. But he has, obviously, in the new CNN poll, a significant lead over his right. Rick Perry is at 42% in terms of who they think is best positioned to beat Obama. Significant lead over Romney at 26%. No other GOP hopeful made it out of single digits on the question, including Bachman, Gingrich, and Ron Paul, who were tied at 5%. But an NBC Wall Street Journal poll released last week found Perry performed worse than Romney in a head-to-head matchup with Obama. So in some ways, people go, we may want to hope they go full-bore Tea Party crazy and nominate Perry. But,
Perry could molest a collie on national TV and the Tea Party would still support him.
God.
He could do it. He could wear a skirt and they'd still support
him. Why must you bring the dogs into it when you know I'm a dog lover?
I'm sorry to make jokes about dog-Republican relations, Stephanie. I didn't mean to offend the dogs. But he could do it. At this point, they're so loyal behind him, no matter what the guy says, they're not going to back down on it. And kudos to Michelle Bachmann and Romney for taking their best shots. And, Huntsman's here because the media thinks that we should think he's interesting still. But, he made some good points. But Perry, it's his to blow. And when he first announced, you could tell the White House got scared. Now it seems like the White House isn't scared of him or Mitt.
Yeah, well, let's do some crunchy audio goodness. The aforementioned bat, Bachman.
You've got to draw the line in the sand somewhere and say no more out-of-control spending.
Yeah.
Says the lady who voted for war.
Right, exactly.
Bye-bye, bat. She was trying, you could tell she was sort of trying to get her mojo back after she's been plummeting in the polls.
Yeah, now she's down around Gingrich numbers, is really sad.
Oh, dear. All right, here she is.
I'm committed to repealing Obamacare.
Yay!
I'm committed to bringing back pre-existing conditions on my first day in the Oval Office.
Yeah!
That's what they all said. Yeah. Every one of them wants to bring back pre-existing conditions on day one, and the audience clapped for it.
I know. It was just, it really was. It was a disconnect listening to some of the response. All right, and well,
can we just take a minute to say that, you know, CNN is so, it was so pathetic seeing this debate on CNN. They're like the really pathetic girl who's willing to degrade herself for one night of intimacy with Fox's demographic. When this whole thing began, and they called it the Tea Party debate.
It's the Tea Party Republican debate!
And
I'm Wolf Blitzer!
Wolf began, and the Tea Party, they're not a party, they're a pack. They're a fundraising pack for the Republicans. So that's who the, that's who CNN partnered with last night. That's how desperate they are to get a little bit of Fox's audience for 2 hours.
Actually, it's interesting you mentioned, I didn't get that. Why did it have to be the Tea Party Republican debate? I was like, what?
Because it was affiliated with Tea Party Express, which is just one part of the Tea Party.
Right, but Tea Party Express is run by a guy named Judson Phillips, who Wolf Blitzer quote mentioned by name in the very beginning in his intro. He announced that Judson Phillips was there. Judson Phillips is a guy who believes, and he said it, you can Google it, that only land-owning citizens should be allowed to vote. In other words, if you just fought for us
let's
in one
you
of these
van by
wars,
the van down by the river.
I know, I don't own land, so I can't vote. Great.
If you come back from the war and you don't own land, you don't get to vote. This is what this guy wants. This is the agenda they're pushing. This is the guy that Wolf Blitzer name-checked at the top of it. This is one of the darkest moments for CNN.
But this is where the Republican Party is. That's what I mean. The things that were being cheered and booed, you're like, yep. That's the tea. Anything vaguely reasonable that either Ron Paul or John Huntsman said. It was just like, what? No!
Well, I thank CNN for doing it because as depressing as it really was a night for these people to expose themselves. There was a lot of ugly on parade last night, and CNN brought it to us.
Yeah. What? So, Michelle Bachmann, obviously, I don't even get this whole, like, tap dance on that. She criticized Rick Perry for calling Social Security a Ponzi scheme. But you and I think, did Wolf Blitzer call her on this, John, that she, on Fox just last year, made very similar comments. She said Social Security is a tremendous fraud. Anyone who ran a business model after the program would be thrown in jail. She said it's a tremendous fraud, one of the biggest frauds ever perpetrated on the American public. She said that to David Axman.
That's right.
Asman. Sure.
You've had dinner with that guy.
I have. I've had Christmas dinner with him.
Yes.
His sister's my friend, so I probably shouldn't say that. Anyway, David Axman said that...
Asman.
You know, he obviously expressed the same opinion. She agreed. I mean, it's like... So, you know, somebody... I think there was an analysis of this even before the debate, John, and they said they're... It's pretty much the exact same thing, calling Social Security a criminal fraud or a Ponzi scheme. I mean, what's the difference?
Well, and Ron Paul offered young people to be able to opt out of Social Security, which is a great way to shift your seniors to a cat food diet.
Yeah.
Just gradually.
Yeah.
You can opt out young people.
Yeah, if you want them to slim down. Ron Paul on the...
What we need to do is cut the Department of Education, the Department of Energy, and all these parts and get rid of them.
Yeah, you know what you need is you need a suit cut properly to fit you. Why is his suit so big? And he's so, or is he just too small? You know,
it's
like,
a good point.
No, they do not have good suit makers, the Republicans. Remember Michael Steele? His suit always looked too big, too.
Yeah.
Or his head's too small, something. But he,
well, that's probably
I just kept
it.
Looking at the back. He just like, looked like a poor little old man in this big suit.
He is an old man.
Yeah, but you know what I mean?
No, but the suit makes him look older and smaller.
In a David Byrne kind of way? Stop making sense kind of way?
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
That's exactly what
I'm
looking for Tina Weymouth on base behind Ron Paul.
I know he can be shallow, but there is something happening with Mitt Romney's hair. The white's getting whiter, and the other part... So someone had said it makes his forehead look like it's kind of levitating or something. Is it, I don't...
He's kind of moving into doddering old Manville.
Who? Which one?
Ron Paul.
Oh, yeah.
No, he's not. He's not.
Well,
he really isn't. He's Ron Paul's the sharpest guy there. The problem is he's both the most
moral
and the most
the
evil
sharpest.
Guy at the same time. John Huntsman's so sharp that he thinks that these people want to vote for a moderate. I mean, I don't understand what John Huntsman's thinking. John Huntsman made a Kurt Cobain joke.
He did,
night.
And it went and right over the old people's heads.
When the only guy in the room who gets your Kurt Cobain reference is Wolf Blitzer?
Yeah. You got a problem.
Oh, boy. And then he's like, I know. What was the last question? I bring my Harley and my... Because it's like, ooh, you're so cool.
Yeah, that's how I'm going to relate
to
you.
And my motocross bike. Oh, boy.
That doesn't resonate with Republicans.
Boy.
Sorry.
All right. Gary, my right-wing love muffin in Buffalo. Hi, Gary.
Hi, how's it going?
Good. How are you? Go ahead.
Good. I just had a question about it. I'm a Republican. I'm not a conservative or Tea Party person yet. But every show I listen to...
What do you mean yet?
Oh, I could go there. Listen to some of these shows. I could easily go there.
So all right.
You guys seem crazy, but...
Okay.
We seem crazy.
I'm pushing you into the Tea Party? Good.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, go there with the sane people.
Oh, can I speak yet?
Sure.
Okay. I just want to say the Tea Party, they came up and sure, and a lot of people don't like them, but they got together, they, you know, sent people to Washington, just like the Hispanic caucus would do, a Black caucus, and any other group in this country. Why would he mock them out? I mean,
no, that's awesome.
Obama
they did that.
Mocked them out as being teabaggers, but now they seem to have so much power, and everybody seems
they
to be
seem to have so much power. That's because people like CNN do Tea Party Express debates. But if you look at the polling, the Tea Party has like single-digit support.
Tea Partiers are less popular than Muslims and atheists in this nation, sir.
They're hurting the Republican Party long term.
I was just saying how envious you sound when you talk about them. I'm just saying what Obama said about them less than a year ago.
I'm envious.
They're just little teabaggers, and they mean nothing. They won't be anything. But then less than a year later,
one ever said
they're
that.
Bringing down the whole country. Obama said himself, you waved his little hand with a teabag, a fake teabag, and locked them out, guys. Come on.
He never called them teabaggers. But here's the problem. What I like about the Tea Party is they've proven that if the people lead, the leaders will follow. And I hope that more parts of America will see the Tea Party and take inspiration from the fact that these people did hold their representatives to account. The problem is they're completely deluded, and they're really hypocritical.
Well, I feel the same way. Listening to both sides, it seems the same way. Everybody's talking to each other in each other's faces, but nothing's getting done. And one more point. I'm just wondering where the voices are about high gas prices, because back in 07, everybody crawled out from under their rocks mocking the former president, but I don't hear a word about it. And I've been calling my state senator, and he said he's investigating something. I keep calling asking how the investigation's going, but they haven't figured it out yet. I'm just wondering where the voices are now, 5 years later.
Well, the deal is that you blame Democrats for high gas prices, but not Republicans, because they're in bed with oil
companies. I didn't. I was pissed at George Bush when he did it, but where are you guys now? And they're more higher and more sustained now than they were back then, but I hear no voices at all on your side.
Well, absolutely. It's a drag.
You hear voices. The only voices you hear on the right with people coming up with, you know, solutions that aren't really solutions, like drilling in the Arctic or where you're going to get a thimble full of oil in 10 years.
We have so much natural gas and stuff. We really could take care of ourselves. And he wants to go green, but if it's not there yet, we need something. But yet he'll buy it off Brazil and wait for Libya to go online when we could be doing it ourselves, waiting for this green to come around.
Well, that's what Libya is about.
It seems like he wants to do this, but it's not there yet, so we need something to help us along until that comes.
I'll remind you, sir, that you guys had a president who sent us to war in Iraq to keep gas prices low, and George Bush Sr. sent us our troops in to save Kuwait to keep gas prices low. We keep sending American soldiers to die for lower gas prices, and you know as well as I do that Anwar up in they're not going to drill in Alaska until the gas supply is so low they're going to have 6 months of gas for rich folks. That's going to stay there as a reserve for the upper 1%. There's so little up there.
All right. And it goes into the strategic, reserve. That's what I mean. It's like these ridiculous. These arguments are so ridiculous. Like it's going to affect gas prices today. Any of that? And by the way,
they
Obama
drilling now, it wouldn't help.
Obama has. I mean, there are a bunch of leases open. It's not like Obama has stopped drilling really anywhere.
No,
so
he's allowed more offshore drilling. Obama has escalated offshore drilling.
Yeah, just like Eleanor Cripp wrote a great piece about how. Do you know that Obama has cut taxes more than George Bush?
Yep. Yeah.
And yet, you know, again, it's this Republican noise machine. Anyway. All right. 47 minutes after the hour, we continue with more Tuesdays with Tugel Singh on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Join the party. 1-800-STEPH-12.
Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
Heyo, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. 52 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. Political geek frenzy last night for me. Mitt Romney, Rick Perry, man fight.
Those guys hate
it. It has been
so
called
much.
A Ponzi scheme by many people long before me.
Governor, the term Ponzi scheme is what scared seniors. I think that Social Security is an essential program.
You said if people did it in the private sector,
did it
would be called criminal. That's in your book.
Yeah, what I said was...
Wow.
All right. David Bender is on the back line for us. Hello, David Bender.
Hey. Well, welcome home.
Hello. Je suis là.
Bonjour. And in honor, actually, the man fight last night, in honor of you womaning up, it was Michelle Bachmann who actually threw the hardest punches and the takeaway, of course, today is that Michelle Bachmann put herself back into the race.
You think?
Absolutely. This was all about, could she get any of that oxygen that Rick Perry had been, you'll pardon the expression, sucking out of the room?
Yes.
And she did. She went right after him on protecting the little girls, all the little girls
yes.
from the HPV virus. And that's probably the biggest soundbite. It was the one place where Rick Perry actually backed down, said, you know, if he had to do over again, he made a mistake.
Yes, he made a mistake trying to protect little girls from cancer. That's
exactly.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. he said, I did it for all the right reasons, but I'd do it differently next time. I'd go to the legislature and have them force it on the
yes.
little girls.
I would have more people die unnecessarily than I've even had executed that were innocent.
You know,
sure.
As a policy position, it was Romney-esque, actually, to watch
it. Yes.
But here's what's really interesting now. What did we see at the very beginning? And John, you must have watched with Wolf Blitzer invoking Judson Phillips. The other thing that happened
exactly.
at the very top of the show, you see these things, you know, these are the little sort of moments that you want to watch for. Mitt Romney walked out, said, "Hi, Rick," and kissed Michelle Bachmann.
Yep.
This is not the Omerta kiss. This was the "you and I are in this together, kid." And what could well happen, because this is where Mitt Romney needs Michelle Bachmann.
I like where you're going with this, David.
Michelle Bachmann has to take Rick Perry out in Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're watching now. That's what this fight
is. She's like his blocker in roller derby, if you mind my.
Exactly.
Sure.
It feels like roller derby. They should strap on some skates.
He just sort of patted her on the helmet. You know, by the way, David, what I was laughing because I can't remember what it was. Like, didn't Mitt say some completely pretentious word when he first came out? I was trying to think, didn't he say "fabulous to see you" or something like that? It was, I missed exactly what it was. I got to go back and watch the tape.
Well, what you missed when you were in France is you missed him actually in the first debate make reference to QE2.
Yeah.
He is such a wonk. And you know, there are people, policy people, he knows.
Uh-oh, we lost you, David.
David, come back to us. Oh, there you are.
Here I am.
Okay.
Mitt Romney knows policy, but he is so obscure about it that he does pretentious things. He refers to qualitative easing as QE2. The whole thing to me smelled like tea spirit last night, actually.
David, I was talking about some polling yesterday, because you've said this from day one, like, look out for Rick Perry, he's getting in, he's going to, you know, and obviously the polls show him surging ahead of Romney, you know, and who they think can beat Obama, but then there was another poll showing that Romney actually does better, and as you know, I've had at least two different people make reference to John Huntsman, right, compare it to him to Barry Goldwater, that it's going to be 1964 all over again.
But right now, all we're talking about is the nomination. And the truth is, almost anybody, Nelson Rockefeller would have lost to Lyndon Johnson in 1964. This is a very different thing. And who wins this nomination standing next to Barack Obama is going to have a fighting chance in this economy of beating an incumbent president who's presiding over this. So this is a very different circumstance. And this is right now a fight for the heart and soul, and there is no soul, and obviously there's very little heart unless, of course, you know, you're in favor of the death penalty in mm-hmm. this GOP. And by the way, did you hear that Rick Perry is apparently for sale, but not for $5,000?
Yes, he's offended by that. I'm a whore, but not a, you know, not a $5,000 whore.
The most chilling part was...
I'm a $30 million whore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was so chilling when Santorum pointed out that, you know, it's okay to have an opt-out clause in your mandated vaccine for girls, but what you should have had was an opt-in. Rather than making it mandatory, you've got to get parents to opt out. And I found myself agreeing with Santorum. I'm still shivering from that.
Yeah, exactly. Well, there are moments, you know, when you agree with all the... Here's Mitt Romney on that.
Texas, for instance, mandates that young girls, or did mandate that young girls had to get inoculations for sexually transmitted diseases.
Just honestly, David, it really was like opposite world. People, I'm like going, really? You're going to take a stand on that, you know, preventing cancer for little girls is wrong? Oops, we lost David Bender
again.
Oh, no. How about when Newt Gingrich took credit for all the Clinton policies he opposed and his wife Calista didn't even blink at it?
Oh, that's a joke about Calista Gingrich not having any eyelids. Listen, that is not nice, John. You know why? Because that is, it's like a genetic adaptation that you have to have when your husband cheats that much. You can't.
That's true.
You cannot take your eye off him for a minute. 24/7.
Both eyes wide open.
Exactly.
And that's proof of evolution right there.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Where are you going? What are you doing now, Newt? What are you doing? Okay. See? It's a mutation. Exactly. Genetic mutation. Good for her. Good for her. All right. More Tuesdays with Bugle Sang as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. StephanieMiller.com, the website, sexyliberal.com, the sexy liberal website. Oh, Jim, there you are. It's your snotty chocolate from the snotty Paris chocolatier.
Which looks dirty, but it isn't the name of the thing.
Yeah.
It sounds like the past tense of
something. Oh, that's what Rebecca said. It looks like a you chocolate.
F-O-U-Q-E-T. Yeah.
Fouquet.
Not.
Which
is,
welcome to Fouquet.
Sounds like the past tense of a verb that doesn't exist in French.
Yes.
John Fugel saying in the New York Bureau for all 3 hours. Uh-oh, John, it's a sexy liberal concern, Nancy in Asheville, where we will be next Saturday night. John Fugel saying Hal Sparks and I. Hello, Nancy.
Hello. I heard your mom's coming to the show.
Well, my 87-year-old Republican mom is coming to Asheville. I'm thinking of dissuading her from coming to the actual show.
Because if she shows up and you sit on the stage with your knees properly together and your hands in your lap and don't misbehave, I'm going to want my money back.
I know, yeah. Exactly. I'm like, Mom, well, listen, Mama's got a bright kibble.
Well, hands in her lap has
I'll just be in,
possibilities.
Yeah.
Whatever.
I'll be in a rocking chair with a shawl. Just the shawl will just change entirely. It'll be like Prairie Home Companion.
That's how it is before we go on stage anyway.
All right.
And does this mean now that you've got a girlfriend, I can't hit on you when you come?
No,
out?
Bring it on, sister.
Yeah.
All right, yay.
Apparently, Lisa's not the jealous type.
Well, Steph's also still a codependent alcoholic, so she wants to make her partner jealous.
Ah, I see.
Why don't you shut your pie hole, mister?
Oh, too much truth?
Yes. Pretty much.
A little too close to the bone?
Too much Tuesdays with Tugle Tang.
Exactly.
Call the alliteration police.
Thank you for all your nice and snarky comments on our pictures of the France trip. Mike in Raleigh says, best Arc de Triomphe picture ever. You guys look so much better standing there than Hitler. Oh, thank you, Mike. That's the sweetest thing.
That's a plus.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you. All right. Eric in Ohio, thank you for the Lisa song. Okay.
Lisa, her teeth are big and green. Lisa, she smells like gasoline. Lisa, da-da-da-Lisa, she is my sister. Her birthday, I missed her.
All right. Okay, everybody get it out of your system.
All right.
There's a picture of me in front of Baby Bjor, and people want to know if that's where I met Lisa. No.
That's funny.
All right.
No,
by the way,
Lisa, no.
Indoor voice, Lisa. Indoor voice.
The sexy liberal news, by the way. So this bike trip, there were only five of us on it. I'm like best friends with all the other people now. They're coming to Sexy Liberal Show. My adopted Jewish parents live in L.A. They're coming to Sexy Liberal.
Awesome.
And Kay, our friend from Oracle in Dallas, is coming to the Austin show.
Really?
Yes.
And if you want to see us next month, if you want to come to Seattle or L.A. or San Francisco, you got to come the Friday night because the Saturday nights are sold out for every show.
Yeah, October will kill me. We have double shows in Seattle, Los Angeles, and San Francisco. But yes, Seattle, Friday, hurry, better hurry.
Searching for something better to do than sip lattes at the original Starbucks? Well, come sip some sexy. The Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show is coming to Seattle. And you will be entertained.
So, the flannel shirt deal, is that a nod to the crispy Seattle weather?
By overwhelming demand, the second show on Friday is now on sale. On September 30th, John Fugelsang, Hal Sparks, and the woman who is sharper than the Space Needle, Stephanie Miller, will spread their progressive sound across the Puget Sound. Tickets are available online at stgpresents.org or by calling 877-784-4849. It's more affordable than a low-fat, half-calf, double-espresso mocha ice frappuccino.
Get ready, Seattle, to be sleepless, sweaty, and sexy.
Yay! All right. And also, I understand Phoenix was announced while I was gone, John, last week.
Yes, indeed.
And we're almost
Phoenix.
Sold out there.
Finally.
That's for February 25th.
Wow!
That's right. February 2012 show is already almost sold out.
So if
that's what we're bringing.
Yeah, if you were putting off buying tickets until next year, don't do it, because it may be sold out by the time you get to it.
You might get in by 2014.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Standing room only. All right. By the way, France vacation picture's up at Stephanie Miller Facebook,
mm-hmm.
and I think...
Zigala.
Exactly. We're trying to get them up at Sexy Liberal. We'll
yep.
see what the elves are doing. You can email me at theregularoldstephaniemiller.com. Miles in Port St. Lucia did. Steph, is it true, given that you and radio goddess Randy Rhodes were both on vacation at the same time, could you confirm the rumor that you two were spending it together? For those of us that fantasize about this, the answer of no comment will do nicely. All right, no comment, Miles. I could have been to France with someone else and then gotten a little, you know, Randy on the side. You never know.
A little what?
Well, I asked Randy to marry me at the town hall in Seattle. She shot me down. So that's why I'm clearly rebounding now.
Of course.
All right. Whatever, Randy.
Fine. What's her problem?
By the way, John, we've been talking about the debate. Did you see Jim? Did you watch?
No.
Oh.
Jim.
Thanks for preparing. Anyway,
it was trickle down idol. It was trickle down idol. It was great.
Well, there of course was Governor Foghorn. Rick Perry. At the debate last night. Yeah, number 15.
Okay,
Rick Perry. There we go. Okay.
Come on, look at my
people
crotch.
Are tired of spending money we don't have on programs we don't want.
Yeah.
mm-hmm.
Like the military.
Like Ponzi schemes,
yeah.
Like Social
yeah.
Security. Yeah. We were talking about how opposite world it was. Only once did the crowd boo Perry, by the way. It's when he defended the law, as we were talking about. Actually, not just, first of all, so they booed him for saving little girls from cancer. There was that. And
right.
then they booed him. Perry defended a law he passed in Texas that gave children of illegal immigrants access to in-state tuition at Texas University, a measure that inspired the Dream Act. So that got booed.
Yep.
As the audience jeered, he insisted his legislation simply helps illegal immigrants become contributing members of our society rather than be on the dole.
Filthy, wow. Swarthy,
yes.
Illegal babies.
Yes.
Horrible
and then,
babies.
And then when Wolf Blitzer Jim asked Ron Paul, would you just have someone die that, you know, that didn't have insurance, that goes into a coma, and people in the audience yelled yes!
Yeah, but then Ron Paul said that we weren't actually attacked because of our freedoms, and he got the loudest boos of the night.
He did.
Yeah. Which, by the
way,
same thing.
Any questions, folks? Any questions?
Same thing Pat Buchanan has said. They didn't attack us because of our freedom. They attacked us because of our policies.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wow. Which is the same thing Osama bin Laden said.
Okay. I think, but however, what do you call it? Romney has the Tim Pawlenty endorsement, so.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, it's just not the same. It's not
he is the most capable, most knowledgeable, most electable candidate in this race by far, and I'm honored and privileged and excited to support him as our next president of the United States.
Thanks for nothing. Woof, woof.
Yeah,
don't mock. When you have the teapot sizzle on you.
Yeah, teapot. When I need someone to pick a fight with a girl, I know who to call. Thanks.
Governor Romney wants to fix Social Security. He doesn't want to abolish it or end it. He doesn't believe it should be thrown out. He believes it should be reformed and fixed.
Mitt Romney and Rick Perry hate each other so much they could both sing lead with the Eagles. That's how
And then, of course, we have the Bobby Jindal, the dueling Republican. He has endorsed
volcano monitoring. That's
Rick
crazy.
Perry.
Well, Texas doesn't require volcano monitoring.
That
is
there you
a
plus. Go. Sure. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Dan in Minneapolis on the Republican debate. Hi, Dan.
Good morning.
Good morning.
You know, I made it through most of the debate, but the point where I lost it was when I heard the crowd go crazy when they brought up the idea of removing the troops from Afghanistan. I thought, it's insane world, backwards world. Can you imagine if this crowd would have heard a Democrat say anything like that?
Yeah.
They would have gotten out the pitchforks and the torches and gone after them.
Yep.
One other thing that I wanted to say to your friend, I think Gary, about the price of oil and gas, it's speculation.
Yeah. Right.
And if a president were to go after controlling speculation, he would probably be the first person screaming about, you know, government intervention and government control.
Mm-hmm.
It's your friends that have the money, Gary, that are keeping the prices of gasoline
right.
High.
Well,
don't blame the Democratic president for that, or Democrats in Congress. It's your pals with the money, pal.
Yep.
We're pumping more oil than we probably have ever in our history right now. I mean, Rachel Maddow, I think, was showing a graph. It's just like insane amounts of oil being pumped, right? It has nothing to do with supply and demand. It's all Wall Street speculation.
Yeah, well, and
I'm going to get $2 a gallon gas.
Yeah, good luck with that.
That'll happen under President Bachmann. Yay. That's going to happen.
In fairness to Michelle Bachmann, last night she accused Rick Perry of being corrupt, and you could hear angels singing.
Jeannie in Ithaca, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Jeannie.
Hi, how are you?
Go ahead.
Good. I just want to comment on the Tea Party wannabe who just called earlier and spoke about gas prices. I had a similar experience here yesterday when I saw a driver in front of me with two bumper stickers on his car, and one had the Obama logo, and it read, "If you are not enraged with this man, you are not paying attention." That really made me angry. And the second one he had was a graphic of an oil rig and a gas hose, and it read, "Drill more, get more, pay less." So I followed him, respectfully, and he pulled into a local restaurant, and I approached him, and I said, "Since you advertise your political opinions on your vehicle, are you open to discussing them?" And he said, "I guess so."
Unless you disagree with me.
Right. Yes.
Unless you have facts of some kind.
That's right. So, I said, "You can't believe Obama has anything to do with the gas prices." And he said, "Oh, he has everything to do with it." I said, "That is Wall Street speculation, which Phil Gramm and his Republican pigs got through on a bill through Bill Clinton, and he was forced to sign it because he wanted an environmental protection on that bill. And that is how that happened. And this is something that is not decided by the president." And he said, "Well, what can we do without oil?" I said, "Well, get online. Brazil is almost completely oil-free."
Right.
I mean, Germany has put in solar panels for the last 10 years. Now they're selling energy to their European friends and making a profit. He said, "This can't be true. You know, these are people who have no information because," and I said, "You have no information because you listen to right-wing radio. You need to turn into 1470 here in Ithaca."
You know what, Jeannie, I love you.
And then I said, I just want to say one more thing. Then I said, "My best friend has a son sitting at home who is a quadriplegic because of Cheney's illegal oil wars." And he said, "I am so sorry, ma'am, about her son." And I said, "Then take that bumper sticker off your car."
Yeah.
And he went back into his car and he put his head in his hands, and I swear the last image I had of him, he was weeping.
Aww.
And that's how we get him.
Wow. Yeah, one person at a time. Jeannie, good work.
One at a time.
Good work, my friend. And by the way, mostly because for all magically bringing it back to
Stephanie Miller.
And I appreciate that. And promoting me. All right, Jeannie, thanks so much. That was great.
Thank you, dear.
Good job. All right. Good job. Wow. Good job. Good job. Get it. That's how you get it.
I want her.
See, if I tried that, I'd get shot.
Well, you don't have a subtle touch. All right. 18.
Yeah, look, moron.
Yeah, you try. You make points with a sledgehammer.
That's why people tune in, because Jim just, we try to reason with right-wing callers, and Jim just goes, "No, you're an idiot."
Yeah.
18 minutes after the hour, right
we'll
back.
We'll have to leave it there.
Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
There's a tea party in her pants, and you're invited. Call now, 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 23 minutes after the hour. Charlie Pierce coming up after the bottom of the hour.
And he has a new yob that he wants to tell us about.
He has a big new yob.
Really? Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, he does.
Yes. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Hobbit in Asheville, North Carolina. Hello, Hobbit.
Hey, Stephanie. It's the official whitewater raft guide of the Stephanie Miller
That's
Show.
Right. Yes.
Awesome.
I hope you all are doing well.
Thank you.
I wanted to give you one more reason to be excited about coming to Asheville. Our Republican state senator, Jim Forrester, who's the state's primary sponsor of the Defense of Marriage Act, just publicly referred to Asheville as a cesspool of sin because of all of our homosexual mischief that
awesome.
Happens here.
Oh, and I'm coming to bring some more. Man. Yay.
I want to have
right
a third right there.
Bring it, babe. We're looking forward to seeing you here.
We can't wait. We don't need another reason to come to Asheville just because it's awesome. That's why we're coming. See you next Saturday.
Oh, we'll see you there.
All right.
You should make bumper stickers.
Yeah.
Buttons.
sounds fun.
A cesspool of homosexual hooliganism.
Yes, scampery. Maria and Madison, another one of those where Satan is, you know, doing God knows what with who knows who, right, Bill?
Madison, Wisconsin, yeah. Where we expect those people to be communing with Satan up there in the Madison, Wisconsin.
Hello, Maria.
Hi. Just put in a plug for Fighting Bob Fest, first of all, this Saturday.
Yeah.
And secondly, I think you're giving Rick Perry too much credit. He mandated that immunization for the HPV virus because it's manufactured by Monsanto, which is a pharmaceutical company that gave him money, and that was their reward for investing in him.
Right, but we learned one thing. He's not a $5,000 whore. You have
That's
to.
Right.
Yes, he will whore, but for more money than that.
Right.
He's offended by that. Am I whore? Yes.
$5,000?
I'm not going to do nothing for $5,000. I'm not spreading my legs out and standing on a hay bale and make you look at my crotch.
I make the haystack tell me I'm pretty first. Or a shit. Little doggy. All right. The president.
Boy, my daddy could have had you shot.
Did you hear it? Republicans yesterday were like, there's no bill. He doesn't know, don't even see it. There's no actual bill. We don't. And then the president, so he made copies and handed them the bill.
Yep.
So that, okay. Eric Cantor got a bigger bitch face than usual. I don't see.
Oh, bitch, please. Show me the bill.
Bitch, please, where's the bill?
There's a fly in my julep.
He presented a copy of the jobs bill at the White House ahead of its delivery to Congress later in the day. He detailed how it wants to pay for the jobs bill, ending tax breaks for wealthy Americans. Why? What an idea. The president said this is a bill that will help our economy in a moment of national crisis. This is a bill based on ideas on both Democrats and Republicans. He said this bill is the bill that Congress needs to pass. No games, no politics, no delay. Sending this bill to Congress today. Blah, blah, blah. He made a point, though. He said when he and Biden were walking out, he said, in fact, Joe and I were walking out here looking at a Washington newspaper, quoting a Republican aide saying, I don't know why we want to cooperate with Obama right now. It's not good for politics. It was explicit. Yeah, they need to learn not to say things like that out loud, Mitch McConnell.
I never say anything out loud.
He doesn't think people hear him because of the lack of chin or lips. He just assumes that it's all inside voice.
Yeah, inside my shell voice. Mm.
You know, he's against them fixing bridges that need to be fixed in his own district, Jim. And I was saying that is not wise. You know why? It takes a long time for a turtle to get across the bridge.
Steady
and he, more than anyone, should be concerned about the structural integrity of bridges in Kentucky.
I'm only concerned about the structural integrity of my shell. If I fall off the bridge, I'll be fine.
Check that bridge that they just shut down, Chris?
Mm-hmm.
It probably was sound when Mitch McConnell started crossing it.
Yes.
But then it deteriorated over the centuries.
Towards the end.
He makes Bobby Jindal look like Patton.
What's that crack I hear? Do I hear something cracking?
Oh, my God. You're a talking turtle.
You have a firm grasp of the obvious, my
friend.
Oh, there goes his shell. Okay. The president yesterday.
This is the bill that Congress needs to pass. No games, no politics, no delays.
He also said the American people don't have the luxury of waiting 14 months for Congress to take action. Folks are living week to week, paycheck to paycheck. They need action, the president again.
This is a bill that will put people back to work all across the country. This is the bill that will help our economy in a moment of national crisis.
You say that like it's a good thing.
He, after delivering his speech to the joint session, he began his Pass It Now tour. That's what we're calling it. Free bird. He's headed to Columbus, Ohio today, to the Boner District. And then he's going to a small business in Raleigh-Durham, North Carolina on Wednesday. The president. Yesterday.
I want you to send an email. He's one of those airplane skywriters. Dust off the fax machine.
Yeah, he acknowledged yesterday that a fax reference is probably a little bit dated.
Yeah, although I got a big, long hate letter yesterday for making fun of the fax.
Why?
Because some people think it's the best way to contact your Congress critter. Oh, my God. All right.
No, but nobody has a fax machine anymore.
I do.
Well, they said they faxed me a hate letter, but I didn't get that, so they copied me on it.
Just let me know on my pager, okay?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. 29. Remember those?
Oh, wow.
29 minutes after the hour. Right back with Charlie Pierce next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
You know you're the girl for me, and all that I want to be.
Oh, oh dear.
Oh, dear.
Is that Herman Cain again?
It is, yeah, Herman. I must tell Jesus what a good singer you are.
I must tell Jesus. I must tell Jesus.
Oh, boy. Okay.
Hit that Casio.
All of my trials.
All right, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Oh, guess who? We need to put bitch face on the
thing. Right-wing hypocrite.
The headline is, Cantor voted for billions to rebuild schools in Iraq, now opposes funding school construction in America.
Oh, boy.
Hmm. He voted for over $120 billion to rebuild Iraq and Afghanistan funds were used to construct and repair schools. What a Jim Dandy idea.
Do not talk to me like that in front of the help.
They can have nice things, but we can't. Mm-hmm. Roads, bridges, other critical infrastructure, which there, I guess, is fine. Here,
sure,
it's French and gay and unnecessary.
And health care.
Now, Cantor is opposing President Obama's proposal to spend $30 billion to modernize 35,000 American schools.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, bitch, please.
They also wanted a separation of religion and state in Iraq, too. Don't leave that out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Public education, health care, no religion in government. That's all stuff Eric Cantor fought for.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. I know. Let's do. Let's
There's
talk
only
more.
One man now that understands.
And that's the author of Idiot America.
Pierce.
Charlie Pierce, the funniest writer in the world, from the Boston Globe. Wait a minute.
What? We're going to have to change that, Charlie.
Oh, we have to change Charlie's jingle now. Damn it, Charlie.
Chris has to do his job.
Go ahead, get our fake butter commercial music for Charlie Pierce's big announcement. He just, damn it, just to make us change his jingle. Go ahead.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it. Yes, I'll be moving on at the end of the month to be the head writer. Not the head writer. It makes me sound like Rob Petrie. But be the lead writer at the Esquire.com politics blog.
Yeah!
So bookmark your bookmarks.
That's right.
Bookmark your bookmarks.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, you've done some stuff on and off for them, but this is going to be like a permanent gig.
This is going to be a permanent gig starting in the beginning of October, yep.
Aww. Very cool.
Good for
yeah.
you.
Congratulations.
Just as things are starting to wind up, let him die!
I knew you'd make it one day if you stuck at it, my little cub reporter.
gee, thanks, Lois.
So, Charlie, what'd you think of the debate last night? Yikes.
I think you would have been much better off staying in France myself.
Yeah.
It doesn't make much more sense over there.
Yeah, let's see if I can go back after that debate. Literally, you just think, wow, they're booing. Last week they booed people being executed, and this week they booed, or they said, yeah, for letting people die
that don't have health insurance. I figured out the field. The Ron Paul wants to let sick 30-year-olds die, and Michelle Bachmann wants to let teenage girls get cervical cancer.
And die, yes.
And die.
Yeah. And by the way, and how much, did Alan Grayson take for saying the Republicans' mm-hmm. plan is don't get sick, and if you do, hurry up and die?
That's exactly right. Yeah, I had not thought of that, but you're right. I just coming off the weekend where we all waxed nostalgic about how unified we were on September 12th, 2001.
Yeah.
Which lasted approximately 11 and a half minutes, but it was there. And now, first of all, what is CNN doing partnering with the Tea Party in anything?
I know. That's what
exactly.
we were saying.
We're not going to see the CNN MoveOn.org Democratic
exactly,
debate.
Exactly, Charlie.
Soon.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I mean, come on.
I mean, that's what John was saying. CNN's like the desperate girl.
They're a real political party and all. I mean, the Tea Party is a pack. That's what they are. They're not a real party. And to see the CNN going on, it was like this sad girl is willing to trade her dignity for one night of intimacy with the Fox demographic.
Yeah, Wolf Blitzer was so excited, I thought for a second he almost was going to sound unconstipated. It's time for the Tea Party!
We don't have to leave it there.
Oh,
I'm feeling very clear today.
today.
By the way, Jim, I thought of you last week because my diet in France consisted pretty
cheese
much entirely
and drywall.
Of hard cheese.
Yes.
And I was constipated. Now that we're bringing it up. I smell like this in France.
You reveal that you have a girlfriend, and you just let everything fly.
Hang out.
Yeah.
All right, Charlie.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about this person in the picture with you there, kiddo.
Yeah, kiddo.
I know, because one of my pictures got accidentally published of you and her a month ago, so now I'm glad I can finally be told.
Yeah, okay. Thanks, John. All right.
Oh man, that was a diversionary thanks, John. If I ever heard.
It wasn't a good picture.
About this anymore.
Well, it's great because I like seeing Stephanie happy. You know, it has to happen every now and then.
Yeah. Listen, you know if anyone.
It's hell for the show, though.
Yeah. Well, if history's any guide, I'll screw it up. So nobody worry. I hope not. All right, Charlie Pierce.
Yeah.
So, what? I think it's essentially all over now that Bobby Jindal has. Back to Rick Perry, don't you think?
He's endorsed Rick Perry. That's great. Cause, and Mitt got teapot yesterday.
He got the teapot on him. Right? Yeah.
So the short Republican governors who are abject failures on the national stage endorsements are pretty much thrown up.
Yeah.
Well put, my friend. Now,
of course, I will believe till my dying day. The only reason teapot is doing this is Mitt has agreed to retire his debt.
God.
Because I mean, Teapot spent tens of millions of dollars to finish fourth in the Iowa straw poll.
Yeah,
back on the bus, Grandma. You're not done yet.
Charlie, do you agree with David Bender? He said he thinks Michelle Bachmann's back in it after last night.
She was better last night, I guess, than she was the debate before the Rick Perry debut debate from South Carolina. She looked like she had miscalculated the dosage a little bit because she wasn't there. And last night she was, happy and peppy and bursting with love again. But I think she's lost too much ground.
Yeah. Yep.
I mean, it looks like the entire Republican Party got a look at her and watched her win the Iowa straw poll and went, huh?
Yikes.
Mm-hmm. No.
Yeah.
Watched her buy it.
I blame the corn dog.
Even though I would point out she is no nuttier than Rick Perry.
I know. Well, so what do you make, Charlie? You maybe have heard me mention a couple of times that John Huntsman now is the latest to compare Perry to Barry Goldwater and say this could be 64 again, my dad and Goldwater's race, that they're going to go for the crazy true believer. No offense to Barry. But, and that it's going to be, because obviously the first polling show bears that out, that Mitt does better against the president than Perry.
Well, I think, first of all, John Huntsman, the CNN, the crowd at the CNN Tea Party debate is not going to know who Kurt Cobain is.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it was awkward.
I mean, let's just drop that right now. If you can make a really good Al Martino joke, you're killed.
He needs to have you write his material. So what were your
The audience made me look third world. It was terrible.
Yeah. What were your impressions? I mean, you think that last night's going to change anything in the polling?
I don't think Perry had a very good night, and I think that Romney is not going to find a way to thread the needle on individual mandates. He just can't do it. And I don't think Perry can do it on Social Security. I think those two guys have unpopular answers. Perry's in the general election and Romney's in the Republican primaries. I think they both stuck with unpopular answers they can't get away from.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I mean, Romney can't get out from under the individual mandate. I'm sorry.
I think states' rights. I think he's smart to pull the states' rights angle, Charlie. I think that's how he's going to dodge it.
That was the way he was going to do it from day one. That, I mean, his people were talking that way before he even announced his campaign. Look, we're going to say, hey, what works in Massachusetts may not work in Mississippi. Of course, that begs that causes the question to rise. Okay, so people in Massachusetts deserve to have good health care, and people in Mississippi deserve to die by the side of the road. Yes, let them die. I'm sorry.
yeah, exactly. Charlie, so the job speech and the jobs tour that the president is on.
I like the follow-up to the job speech more than as much.
Huh? Wait a minute, Charlie Pierce, something's on.
Stephanie.
I'm just saying.
No, seriously, he has stuck to his guns for three consecutive days.
All right, there you go.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was John Stewart who says how much cooler campaign Obama is than President Obama.
I totally agree with that.
Yeah.
Already they're whining about, well, we'll give you half of it, the half we like, but you can't have the other half. No.
Right.
I mean, you're going to make them run against not doing anything about jobs, please.
Right. No,
please
Well, that's exactly what I'm saying, Charlie. Is, you know, smarter analysts than I have said that they think the president is actually being very smart on this politically as well. As, I mean, I happen to think it. You know, I agree with points that Krugman made as well. I think it is a good plan. I think it is bigger than expected. I think you're right. It's the way he's going to handle it politically that's important, and I think he's doing the right thing.
I mean, this is a decent enough plan that you could say take it or leave it.
Right,
and
60%
really
tax cuts.
Because there really is something in there for everybody, and I agree with Krugman, and God bless him, by the way, because he's having a really rough week otherwise. I think the last 3 days have been really good for him.
You know, I'm reading this one analysis too by Eleanor Clift, which is, you know, again, and you've made
Wrong.
This point.
What was that?
That was his John McLaughlin.
Oh, man.
Because as we know, Eleanor Clift is always...
Wrong!
Okay. The point is, but, you know, she wrote a piece for the Daily Beast called
John McLaughlin is the oldest ex-priest who's not, like, buried in the Vatican.
Yes, thank you, Charlie, for that. She wrote a piece called Obama the Silent Tax Cutter. And again, this is the point you make sometimes is the white, you know, they may do the right thing, but they're not the politics of it. I mean, people, they're letting the Republican noise machine cast him as some big taxer. And he's not. He's cut taxes more than George W. Bush. But she writes, Obama may have finally beaten Republicans at their own game. A party that prides itself on advocating for tax cuts will have a hard time lining up against the extension of the payroll tax and other business sweeteners larded into the jobs bill.
But the stimulus was full of tax cuts, and they're slamming the stimulus.
Yeah,
right. I mean, there was a poll, and right before the 2010 midterms, which tipped me off to the fact that the 2010 midterms were going to be terrible, where some ridiculous percentage of the people who got a tax cut didn't realize they got a tax cut.
Right.
Yep.
How is that possible?
Right.
It's possible because
it's possible if you don't sell it. That's how it's possible.
Well, but they didn't sell it. What they said, they were afraid if they sold it, the people would then go invest their money and not spend it. They wanted this money to go right back into the economy, whereas George Bush killed a lot of trees to send every American a mailing saying, we gave you a tax cut. The Obama administration deliberately, some would say naively, didn't tell people they were getting a tax cut, so the money would go right back into the economy.
Depending on the native political shrewdness of the American people to figure this out.
But, you know, but you're absolutely right. And the other thing is this talk about spending. I think it's framing that better, don't you think, that you would to just keep saying again and again, you know, George Bush somehow, I guess, convinced you that it's okay to spend money on unnecessary wars and tax cuts for the rich, but this is spending to, you know, to create jobs, to, you know, repair our infrastructure, our schools. I mean, all spending's not the same. That's the other point they have to make, right?
Yeah, I think the rebuilding the schools is a terrific idea. On the merits, it's really good, but it's also a wonderful tactic.
Yeah, exactly.
I hesitate at this time in history to say who's going to object to that, because lots of people will.
And
they were all in the building last night.
Yeah.
Yes, because they're cheering, right, little girls dying of cancer, and I don't know, people being... innocent people being executed, so I'm not really sure what else is. Yeah.
I'm telling you, it's the applause lines at the Republican debates are getting weirder and weirder.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Execute people, let them die in the streets, and get cervical cancer.
Yay! All right. Charlie Pierce,
yay!
Congratulations on the job.
Oh, thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
Well, that's Michelle Bachmann for your new job at Esquire.
Yay!
That's a really good Michelle. She does that a lot, by the way.
Because you know what? It takes chutzpah to get a job at Esquire.
It does take chutzpah.
Thank you.
Chutzpah.
See you next week, Charlie Pierce.
Okay, pal.
All right, Charlie.
46 minutes after the hour. Right back with more Tuesdays with Fugle saying on the Stephanie Miller Show.
A whole new level of disturbing.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 52 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12. Buddy in Columbus. Good morning, buddy.
Hey, before I get one point, I've got a question for Herr Ward.
Yeah?
Yes.
Hey, Jim. Is Herr Fugle saying I'm Ostmuk? Und du ist ein Westmuck?
Ja, ich bin ein Wessi.
Ja.
Oh, wow.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
Hey, I got a thing, and struck me in the debate, we don't need any more dumbass Texans.
Yeah.
Honest to Pete.
Yeah.
The stories coming out of Texas, they're having tremendous wildfires as a result of global warming. Mm. And not only does he deny it, but he cut the funding for the firefighters.
For firefighters.
Who handle grassland fires in Texas. So they get them.
Volunteer firefighters.
And I love Ron Paul. It's, you know, he's, despite being the turd at the every Republican punch bowl, mm-hmm. he's like the only one that's telling the truth. He's like, they're all government jobs he created, and he raised my, doubled my taxes since he's been the governor. Yeah.
But I don't know if you've seen it. Is this town called Bastrop, Texas, and it almost got taken off the map. The firefighters there are having to go pay for their own equipment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, the idea of a government that works for us, like we pay our taxes, and then they come and put out the fires, and we get water coming through our, like, faucets and stuff. It's still a pretty good concept.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And by the way, here's the other thing I learned in France. Firefighters are hot everywhere. I almost rode my bike into a tree in Paris.
So this
whole firefighters I've ever seen.
This whole lesbian thing hasn't dampened your spirit for firefighters.
No, dear God, no.
Okay. What about lesbian firefighters?
I don't know if I've met one.
Bob in, I'm sure you have.
Bob in Texas, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Bob.
Hi. Yes, I'd like to point out that a few weeks ago, Rick Perry asked all of us to join him in prayer for rain.
Yes. How'd that work out for you?
We got wildfires all over the state. Mm.
Mm. It's almost like God doesn't want him to be president. It's weird.
He doesn't approve of people who use politics religion for political purposes.
Yes. Yeah, well, thank God that's never happened before. A governor of Texas would think God wants him to be president. Hmm. All right, let's dive into the right-wing world and see what you're doing, shall we, kids? Well, hey, well, why not? Jim Angle on the Fox News on the taxes. Jim Angle on the Fox News.
Members of both parties are ready to trim tax deductions, but Republicans hope to use some savings for deficit reduction and some to lower tax rates, which would boost economic growth and perhaps job creation.
Is that news reporting?
Is that
really?
Straight news or is that opinion?
Oh, interesting. Yes, and as Eleanor Clift writes, Obama has invested so much time in demonizing the Bush-era tax cuts for the rich, he's obscured the true narrative of his presidency. Class war rhetoric aside, Obama is one of the most prolific tax cutters in history. If one compares the cost of tax cuts in just the first 4 years of Bush's term to the first 4 years of Obama's, Obama's tax cuts are bigger.
Wrong!
Bush tax cuts about $475 billion in the first 4 years, 1.1% of the GDP. Obama's total about $1 trillion, or 1.6% of the GDP. All in all, Obama responsible for many billions in tax cuts, yet the popular perception is he's raised taxes, because that's what the Republican noise machine, like Jim Angle, tells you.
He's raised taxes on cigarettes. There is a tax in the health care bill on wealthy people. And there is a tax on tanning beds.
Tanning beds.
And those are the only taxes he's raised. And one of them doesn't even go into effect until the Affordable Care Act goes into place.
That's the only thing I was going to say that made John Boehner cry.
This will not stand.
More than the word tavern.
Ronald Reagan raised taxes more than Obama. Taxes are lower under Obama than they were under Reagan.
Yep.
Thank you. Dana Loesch, teabagger on CNN.
There is a difference in that a Ponzi scheme isn't as bad as what Social Security is, because Social Security is mandatory. You don't get a choice. You can choose whether or not you want to get involved in a Ponzi scheme.
Nitwit. I met her last year on Joy Behar, and Steph tried to warn me about her.
Yes,
I said, what do you have
she
to say?
Me.
And Steph just said she's ill-tempered. and that's sort of like calling the Khmer Rouge peevish.
Wow. Oy.
That's she's the most understated you've ever been.
Oh, for the magical days when she used to scream at Larry King when I was on. Larry, can't you make her shut up?
Oh, the haters. Her,
Dana,
her
calm down. Whew. Yeah. Okay, Sandra Smith, Fox Business reporter on Hannity.
We know that the first stimulus failed. So if the goal, even as he took vacation and said this job speech is coming,
vacation.
I have a solution. If the job was to instill confidence, first of all, why don't we have it on the table? And second of all, why isn't he addressing the real problem in this country? I mean, to bring people out to back to work, we can't spend our way out of this.
But I think he doesn't get it.
You have to spend your way out of a recession.
Check a history book now and again. Nitwit.
And she's a business reporter.
Oh, wow.
You're hearing Republicans on Capitol Hill really come at this from a political point of view, saying it is really onerous to businesses, because that's what they're hearing in their districts. And there are a lot of lawmakers up on Capitol Hill now pushing for at least a moratorium on the big ticket regulations in order to get businesses to turn around.
Are you kidding me? After Wall Street and Enron and God knows what else, really? We're too regulated? Is that the problem?
God.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
All right, 58 minutes after the hour, back with the Scotiabank right-wing world. We have some marriage equality in North Carolina to talk about what's going on there.
Right.
And also Representative John Yarmuth. Don't go away. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, the website, SexyLiberal.com, the Sexy Liberal website. John Bugle saying Sexy Liberal in the New York Bureau all 3 hours. Did a spectacular job filling up, filling in for us.
Feeling up?
Sparks.
Feeling up?
Feeling, well, he fills me up and fills me up.
Okay, yes.
And fills in for me. And Hal Sparks will be here tomorrow, Sexy Liberal himself, for his our first day back with Hump Days with Hal Sparks, since he was gone and Mama was gone, Europing about the Europe.
Yeah.
All right. By the by, we are all three of us next Saturday, kids. Yeah.
North Carolina, get ready for your second dose of Sexy Liberal. Saturday, September 24th at the Thomas Wolfe Auditorium, the Sexy Liberal Show comes to Asheville.
Oh, this I gotta see.
Down in Asheville.
Join Stephanie Miller.
I see you got a Snoop Mulligan.
John Bugelsang.
You're funny, all right. You're a scream.
And Hal Sparks.
Which one? Joke Cracker.
Saturday, September 24th. Get your sexy on in Asheville.
You don't want to concern yourself with government business.
Come and laugh with Steph, John, and Hal and meet other sexy liberals.
I hope you're out of jail in time to vote.
Tickets available now at Ticketmaster.com for the Sexy Liberal Show starring Stephanie Miller.
Boy, you're funny, you are. You ought to go on the radio and be an all-night disc jockey.
From Klingman's Dome to the Blue Ridge Parkway, don't miss your last chance to get your sexy on this year, North Carolina, with the Sexy Liberal Show, Saturday, September 24th at the Thomas Wolfe Auditorium in Asheville.
And the president will be there Wednesday. Lots going on in Asheville. In fact, Jasmine Beach Ferrara, Executive Director of Campaign for Southern Equality, based in Asheville, joins us now. Good morning, Jasmine.
Good morning, Stephanie.
Thanks so much for taking time for us.
Sure thing.
Well, you know, Brian, our handsome and talented and well-endowed program director at the Revolution in Asheville, gave us a heads up that, you know, here they go again, these Republicans and their sneaky tricks. They've snuck in a marriage amendment. Tell us what's going on.
Well, yesterday the North Carolina House voted and passed on a marriage amendment. There's a lot of last-minute, sort of behind-the-scenes political maneuvering. No public comment was allowed. The bill number changed. The bill content changed. And while we had, you know, a lot of legislators standing up with a message of equality, unfortunately the Republican majority had the votes they needed to pass it. So today it's going to Senate debate and vote, and we are doing everything we can to try to defeat it in the Senate.
What? And Jasmine, you know, I know there was a candlelight vigil last night, right, mm-hmm. At the Vance Monument there. You know, and I know one of the speakers said, and maybe this was you, but more than anything, what's so concerning is the message it sends to the youth in our state. This sends a message of bigotry to the youth, and we need to send a message of love and acceptance. I mean, that's what I think is disheartening when we're moving so quickly forward and you can see such a clear generational divide in the polls that in some places they're trying to go backwards like this, right?
Yeah, I mean, exactly as you say, in the big picture, I feel tremendously possible about what's going to happen nationally and what's going to happen in the South also. And that's because of what I see happening day to day as people come out in new ways, as more and more families come to understand that LGBT folks are part of their families or are your neighbors or your coworkers. And unfortunately, there's just a very aggressive political climate in North Carolina right now. And as you said, I think one of the most toxic parts of an amendment like this is the message it sends to youth, especially youth who are struggling and not getting messages of affirmation. You know, we know that LGBT youth have elevated risks of suicidal ideation and suicidal attempts, elevated use rates of drug and alcohol use, just, you know, in response to the stigma and the anti-gay animus that they face on a daily basis. And something like this fuels the flames of that kind of bigotry rather than, you know, what our elected officials and community leaders should be doing, which is sending a message of love and acceptance to those kids.
You know, I don't know if you've been heard us talking, but, you know, my girlfriend Lisa is on the board of the Trevor Project, which is, that's exactly what it is trying to help. And, you know, she has the same story so many people have that, you know, she was outed when she was a teenager and lost all her friends and, you know, and then started working on the suicide hotlines for gay kids and is on the board. And you're exactly right. It's because they keep getting that message that they're not okay.
Yeah, and I think those are the two dots that we just have to be, you know, absolutely insistent about connecting, which is that the LGBT youth and teens contemplating suicide and attempting suicide is directly connected to the kind of climate we create in our community. And amendments like this foster bias and animus and bigotry. And the proponents of these amendments, you know, work very hard in terms of spinning them to seem like something else. But at the end of the day, they are fueled by precisely the same bias that leads to a hate crime in a more extreme form makes the kids think that suicide is their only option.
Well, Jasmine, as you say, this is, you know, political. It's, you know, this is a decades-old wish of social conservatives there, and obviously the president coming there Wednesday is another indicator that North Carolina is going to be a really important state politically, right?
Yeah, the next, the period of time between now and November 2012, I think, is going to be quite a time in North Carolina politically, between what's going to go on with this amendment leading up to the May 2012 vote on it, the fact that the DNC is having their convention here, and that North Carolina is kind of being marked as a key battleground state by both parties. So this is definitely a charged political time. We're excited to have you all down here next weekend.
You'll
get to see it firsthand.
Yeah, we are excited. So Jasmine, what's next, and what are your thoughts as to how this is going to play out in North Carolina on the marriage equality issue?
Well, obviously today it's all hands on deck in terms of reaching out to senators and both parties and urging them to vote no on this, or as some folks did yesterday, to take a walk on it. Equality North Carolina, which is our state lobbying group, is doing an excellent job of running a really muscular statewide campaign. If we don't get the result we want in the Senate, they are poised to roll out a campaign to beat this at the ballot. On the community level and in Asheville, certainly we have folks working for equality in many different ways who will be supporting that campaign and also using sort of a diverse range of tactics to just raise awareness about this and help people understand how harmful discriminatory laws that are already on the books here are.
Well, we got your back, and we are coming to help and to party next Saturday. We will see you next Saturday night in Asheville. And thanks.
Okay, we can't wait. Thank you so much.
All right, and keep on doing the Lord's work there. Thank you, Jasmine.
Thanks, Stephanie.
All
see
right.
you next weekend. Bye.
All right, you too.
Oh.
See, the right wing hates it when I say that.
Yeah.
She's the one doing the Lord's work. Right, John Fiegel saying ecclesiastical
MOOC.
Indeed.
I'm glad. Proud of you, my child.
Thank you. Let's finish up Right Wing World, shall we? Oh, with some David Asman?
David Asman, you've had Christmas dinner with the man.
Yep.
He might be an
Asman. National Public Radio is at it again, categorizing conservatives as wackos if they dare question conventional wisdom on things like global warming.
Mm.
Now, this morning,
wacko.
NPR broadcast wacko. A piece they titled, In GOP Presidential Field, Science Finds Skeptics, Science Writ Large. Now, the Taxpayers Supported Radio Network suggested that Governor Rick Perry is anti-science because he actually questions mankind's role in global warming.
Yes. Yes, as do the
this is a governor's state that's on fire.
Yeah, 0.0001% of scientists that work for ExxonMobil. Yeah.
Did David Asman have that same snark when he said, pass the potato?
Yes, and you heard this when he says anything. they carry it with them on their like little
some
soundbox.
Some people say.
Hey, socialists, pass the gravy. That's what he said.
He kind of sounds like an ass is what he sounds
oh,
like.
Oh, stop it now. I sense somehow I won't be invited back to Christmas dinner this year.
I don't think so. Because you made fun of the guy's name on the radio?
Well, yeah, you're the one who started with
his
that.
His sister is my friend, and she was my next door neighbor in New York.
Listen, man, when your name's Fuglesang, you learn not to ever make fun of anybody else's name. That's just all there is to it.
Yeah, Stephanie wasn't saddled with an awful name.
No,
Stephanie
got a normal American-sounding name.
Yeah. You didn't have a name like Lavoie.
Right. Even though I work in a business with Roger Hedgehog.
Cock.
Mm-hmm.
Roger Hedgehog.
There she goes again.
Sorry. Rush Limbaugh.
George W. Bush, who, by the way, stands tall. In retrospect, 10 years.
Oh, yeah.
Not one attack.
What?
What do you mean
great statesmanship?
What?
If somebody told me today they wanted to put Bush's face on Mount Rushmore, I'd be in there supporting it.
Damn it, I'm doing Oxy now.
Oh, God.
I want Oxy. If I can hallucinate like that, hook, I will freebase OxyContin if I can think like that.
Spat. Okay, we end on that vomitous note.
How can they say that with a straight face? Not one attack. Except that one time.
Except that one. Okay, Elise in Florida had the same reaction to the crowd reaction at the Republican debate we did. Hello, Elise.
Hello, I'm the official Fort Lauderdale sexy liberal person going to the sexy liberal show.
Hooray! Yay, South Florida!
When is it? When is it? Hang on, I'm looking down the list. When is that?
December.
Yes.
So excited.
December 10th. December 10th. I knew that.
Yeah, because I have to listen to you in quiet with my Republican boss sitting next to me. So it's very different. But I called last week. I'm only calling because I don't know what bizarro world we're living in. But when people are applauding a man who killed 200 and something people, got to wonder what the mental capacity is of this racist right-wing extremist movement that's going on in our country.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my comment. I just don't understand it. I really don't know how people can applaud a man who killed 200 people.
They call themselves the pro-life party, who was actually pro-death. When Wolf Blitzer said, what do we do with a guy that gets, sick and goes into a coma, that doesn't have insurance, we let him die, and several people in the audience yelled,
yeah! Good rope!
They're Christians in name only. They're chinos.
Chinos.
Old, wrinkled, and white chinos.
All right, 17 minutes after the hour. We continue more Tuesdays with Bugle saying, what? On the Stephanie Miller Show.
She's your information slut. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
Woo! It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 23 minutes after the hour. Thank you for all your nice and snarky comments on Stephanie Miller Facebook on my vacation pictures in France.
Yeah. You knew that was coming.
Okay.
A million lesbians' hearts broke across the country.
My girlfriend Lisa. Let's see. Where is this one? Victoria writes, what a fairy tale romance. Stephanie, 1967's Itchy Kitty Showgirl of the Year and Elderly Shut-In, touring the French wine country with a gorgeous do-gooder and broker babe 2008 on a crotch-numbing bicycles. Good planning. Listen, Victoria, I did not think that through properly. Did I tell you, Jim, I actually afterwards met an OBGYN. And she said that there is an especially designed bicycle for your
for your hoo-ha.
Yeah. I should have looked into
for your cooter.
Now a warning about my cooter?
And for man parts, too.
50 miles a day?
It's not good for man parts, either.
Yeah.
Cut off circulation to certain areas.
Areas. And any other
area. I like when we get political on the show.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right.
Any other error?
Uh-huh.
Error.
All right, 1-800. As we've said, he had one too many surgery. It affected his ability to say
any other error.
Affects the R area.
That's awful.
Oh. We can finally laugh at Michael Jackson again.
Stephanie in Illinois, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Steph.
Hi. I've been waiting for my pharmacy to deliver another case of Pepto-Bismol, watching Baby Einstein till we grow my brain cells after those two debates. Does Stephanie Bachman, can we send her a flaming pair of pants? Social Security is not mandatory. The city of Chicago doesn't pay into it. Many municipalities and private businesses do not pay into it. So can we just send her a bar of soap or something?
All right, Steph. She said it. You can tell people sometimes you just have to vent, and that's yay. Okay. Yay. We were talking about Eleanor Cliff's article. Eleanor Cliff's article about Obama, the silent tax cutter. And this is as we move into campaign season. And you guys naysay sometimes, but sometimes they do have to, I think, on the politics of things, do a little better. Because she writes, liberal economists say the president's approach has been much more strategic and is about trying to get money into the pockets of the middle class to boost the economy. Mm-hmm. That's the problem. He actually cares about doing the right thing. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, the Republican noise machine, as she points out, people think he raised their taxes.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
When he, in fact, has cut them more than George Bush did.
But don't you think that Daley and the White House are planning on rolling out those facts as being the main selling points in their campaign next year?
Right.
Like, bring it out next year how much he's cut taxes. Don't talk about it now. Don't defend yourself now. Let him believe the lie and then show them the proof before Election Day. It's a brilliant strategy.
Mm-hmm. Right. Somebody pointed out Republicans are always complaining about the high corporate tax rate. You kept hearing that come up last night in the debate. It was in place well before Obama took office. It has nothing to do with President Obama, but people associate it with him. And again, that's because of the Republican noise machine. So that's all you can do is just keep stating the facts. Jay Carney, the press secretary.
You know, I've been asked this question. Isn't this a campaign? You're absolutely right. It is a campaign. The president is campaigning for growth and jobs.
Smooth, 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 Carney. I'll go in his tent.
Carl Rove, for some reason.
If the Democrats couldn't pass these when they had overwhelming margins in the Congress, why should they expect to pass them in a divided Congress now?
Yeah, why should we expect Republicans to care about Americans having jobs?
We don't want Americans to have jobs because we want Obama to lose.
Donna.
Oops. Wasn't supposed to say that.
Donna in Arizona, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Donna.
Hey, Steph, how you doing?
Good, go ahead.
I just wanted to say something about Medicare, Social Security.
Mm-hmm.
There is a tremendous amount of disabled children. They spoke about a gentleman, 30, with no health care. What about all these autistic kids? I have an autistic son. He's been autistic for 30 years. And I can't begin to tell you, because of not able to, and he has seizures, not able to get health care, what it has done to me and, just me trying to work, to manage, to survive. And, in 30 years since my son has had autism, it has increased tremendously. And, they don't care about the children. Who do they care about? You know, and a lot of parents have to stay home for great periods. My son had brain surgery. I had to stay home for a couple of years to take care of him. You know, so we were on and off Social Security. You know,
right,
and my husband died. My husband was a veteran. He died. And so my son got his Social Security.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. And I paid into the system. I had a six-figure job for quite a while, so I paid an extreme amount of taxes. And, you know, I don't know what do they think they're talking about. I had cancer when I was younger. I was uninsurable my entire adult life.
Yeah.
And so where are you supposed to go to the church? Oh, and what church is going to pay those kind of bills?
Yeah, what did you hear? Is that Ron Paul, Donna, that said that? But what about going through the churches? It's like, what?
Yeah, sure, Ron Paul said, yeah, back before we had Medicare and everything got screwed up, when we could leave everything and all problems mercy to the benevolence of the free market and churches.
And who is which I can't keep track of which Republican now said, what about when just neighbors helping each other during disasters?
Yeah, when entire neighborhoods are wiped out,
yeah,
how
sure.
are you going to depend on
sure.
your neighbor to help you?
We can trade chickens for new houses.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. Susan in Oregon, real quick, on the Republican debate as well. Hi, Suze.
Hi, Steph. I just wanted to comment that when Ron Paul mentioned the 30-year-old and that it let him die, wasn't this the same party that fought tooth and nail to keep Terri Schiavo alive?
Nah, thank you, Susan, for that.
Wheel of right-wing hypocrites!
Whee! It's so easy. Anyone can play. All right, 29 minutes after the hour, Representative John Yarmuth of the great state of Kentucky next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Now, what is this mess?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Hey, nerds! Guess who's got two thumbs, speaks limited French, and hasn't cried once today?
Stephanie Miller.
We got the limited French part right.
Yeah.
Woo.
Oh, boy. Jim has a general sense of ennui about my French pronunciation.
Well, I do too.
34.
You know, my last name being Lavoie and all.
Lavoie. 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free for anywhere. We've been talking about infrastructure investment, and our good friend Senator John Yarmuth, Representative John Yarmuth, I just gave him a promotion because I like him, of the great state of Kentucky. Good morning, Senator, I mean Congressman, President Yarmuth.
You know, in Kentucky, we have Versailles, a town called Versailles. Right.
Does it have a chance to lie on the boulevard? Now, Representative, we've been talking about, I mean, it really is just ironic and sad, isn't it, when you have someone like Mitch McConnell fighting against infrastructure investment, and now you just had this major bridge, the Sherman-Minton Bridge, has like 80,000 cars a day. It's been shut down, right?
Right, and I mean, it's creating havoc in the entire region, basically, and it does. I mean, it's an unfortunate irony, but it does point up the absurdity of some of the positions that people like Mitch take, where they don't understand that these are not abstract theories of deteriorating infrastructure. That's not just a political rhetorical term that the president used last Thursday. It's real. And in Kentucky, now a commute that took 15 minutes takes 2 hours, it's putting unbelievable stress on the remaining bridges, which are already overtaxed, or overutilized. And again, these are real life things. They happen.
Yeah, I know.
And it's a way we could actually put a lot of people to work and do something avoids disaster.
Now, Emperor Yarmouth, excuse me, Representative. I hate to say it, but does this not even more clearly prove that Mitch McConnell means what he says when his main concern is making sure President Obama doesn't get elected? When you are not for fixing a bridge that has been shut down in your own district, I mean, how else do you justify that? Then you were just against anything the president is for.
Well, time after time, Mitch has been one of many from the Republican Party who just say stuff, and it doesn't have to comport with reality, with facts, or even with their own record. It's, you know, Mitch voted for cap and trade in 1990, and now all of a sudden the cap and trade program that he voted for in 1990 became the cap and tax thing, which is so horrendous.
Right. And I think that the president's done a terrific job, don't you, on both this Jobs, you know, speech, but the actual program, and taking it to them, going, these are ideas that Republicans, many of you in this room, have been for. Pass this now. Right?
Exactly right. I thought he was terrific Thursday night. I actually had very low expectations, and I thought he did remarkably well. The plan is very clear. There's virtually no one who couldn't understand it, couldn't connect the dots. And in this day and age, it's tough to connect the dots when you're talking about the effects of various things on employment. I mean, it's not just a simple dynamic. And I thought he was as good as he's ever been.
Yep, absolutely.
But, yeah.
Representative, hang on. Let me try this. I want to put on Todd from Kentucky with Representative Yarmouth. Hey, Todd, welcome.
Hey, Steph. Hey, Mooks.
Hi, go ahead.
Yeah, you know, our concern is that they need to pass this bill so that they can put people to work to fix this bridge, and then the people that are working, it doesn't take us 2 hours to get to work anymore. This is a bridge that connects Indiana to Kentucky, so now people are having to circle way around, an hour to 2 hour drive, circle around to get to work in the morning. It's just ridiculous.
And Representative Yarmouth, I mean, seriously, how long, what's supposed to happen here? How long is this going to be shut down, and what's going
to
happen?
There is no way to know. The inspectors have said it will take 3 weeks to actually even assess the extent of the deterioration and what will be required to fix it, and or if it can even be fixed. A chance, although I don't think it's a large chance, but there's some chance that you can't repair this bridge.
Nice.
Because of it's an obsolete style of construction. It was built 50 years ago. Nobody's doing that this way. But I don't think anybody believes, I was in a briefing over the weekend, I don't think anybody believes that this is going to be fixed in a matter of months. I mean, it's going to be a number, you know, I would venture to say it's going to be at least 3-4 months, probably longer than that, before there'll be any traffic. And Todd's absolutely right, but, you know, one of Louisville's and that area, that our region's biggest economic drivers is logistics. We are the global hub of UPS.
Right.
We have an incredible amount of car industry traffic. We have two Ford plants. There's a GM plant in Bowling Green, up and down those interstates. When you do something like that, when you have something like this, it affects an entire region's economy. It's not just, it certainly is an inconvenience, a horrible inconvenience for people like Todd who have to commute. But, I mean, its impact is very, very wide.
Congressman, what do you happen to watch the Republican debate last night?
I did, and all my one I didn't watch the whole thing, but my reaction was I probably would not have fared very well in front of that audience.
Yes, exactly.
I mean, this
what
was like the Roman Coliseum.
Yeah.
It was scary.
Yeah.
It was scary. They were bloodthirsty.
Yeah. I mean, but it goes to, for me at least, I just feel like that is so out of touch with where most Americans are. If you look at polling on a lot of these issues, I mean, it really, that's what we were saying. It's like opposite world.
Oh, my gosh. And when they started cheering, so do you let this guy die, the guy in the coma, do you let him die? And,
yeah.
And they started cheering yes.
Yeah.
I mean, it's sad. And the fact that only one person in that on that stage had the guts to essentially take them on is just that illustrates where the party is.
Mm-hmm. How do you feel, you know, this is going to play out with the jobs bill? I mean, I know I've read a lot of analysis that the president has also played this very smartly politically, and that, you know, this may change the nexus, you know, as to what's been happening in Washington. What do you think?
Well, I'm not sure. Obviously, the pay for the revenue package that the president proposed yesterday is something that's going to be very hard for Republicans to swallow. As an entire package, there are elements they might be able to accept, but you know, I don't think they're going to go for eliminating or restricting itemized deductions on people making over $200,000. That's going to be tough for them. The carried interest thing, the 15% tax rate on hedge fund managers. They've already fought that. So what I think it will do is it will focus greater attention on the stark contrast between where the Republican Party is right now and where most of the American people are, like you said. So I don't think there's much prospect of getting it through as he proposed it. But again, it'll highlight that difference.
It's hard to it's hard to highlight the differences more than to have the Republican leader, be from a district where they claim we don't need infrastructure spending and they have closed a major bridge in his district. And apparently, I mean, we haven't heard from him, have we?
Not. And he was in Louisville over the weekend because I was at a 9/11 remembrance ceremony with him. So he's resisted. He's not appeared in any of the newspaper articles.
Wow.
He's been able to avoid commenting, and I hope the media stays after him.
But see, if I were there, I would have said, "Hey, Mitch, you're late. What did you take the Sherman Mitten Bridge?" Oh, forgot about the detour. Okay.
Yeah, well, he actually was there before I was. So okay.
Darn it.
Zane Perry in the same sense.
He needs to be called out on this, and Rand Paul as well, and across the river, Todd Young, who's a freshman representative, he's going to be put in a tough spot because he's in that same category of person who doesn't want to invest in this country. So it's going to be an interesting dynamic as in around our area when you have so many people in Indiana, particularly, it's a much more conservative state than ours, at least in partisan ways. So it's going to put a lot of people on the spot.
Yeah, absolutely, and we love it. All right.
Unfortunately, we're taking the we're having some real life impact of this.
Yeah.
But again, this is what governing is all about. This is what solving problems is all about. This is what the people expect of their political leaders, is to respond to these types of things. And when they don't, and they throw up these kind of religious arguments against it, then they need to be taken down.
Yeah, well, that's why you should be king of Kentucky. But right now, you're only a representative. Representative John Yarmuth of the great state of Kentucky, thanks as always for your time, sir.
Thanks, Devin.
All right, there you go.
That's like infrastructure's a comet plot.
He's smart and chuckly, just the way we like our Congress people.
Yes, indeedy.
All right, Jim in Seattle real quick. Hey, Jim.
Hello.
Hi, Jim.
You know, Stephanie, here's what bothers me the most. These ultimate job creators, as an ultimate tax budget cut people, they keep saying they're going to save us all this money and create all this revenue by cutting taxes. Here's the problem. When you privatize your utilities and privatize other things, it's going to be all done amongst their constituents, their colleagues, their family people, their Wall Street people, everybody related to them. They're going to charge you 2 to 3 to 4 times the amount in the final end for any kind of service that you're going to pay for. You think you're on a budget now, wait until you have to pay for their services. And you're going to have no consumer or legal rights to combat them if you don't like what they charge you. As simple as that.
And these people don't want to seem to realize that and see that out there.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all going to get fired when they bring these people into office. They're not going to do you any favors.
Yeah.
They're not going to help you financially. It's a little ploy. It's a fishing lure. And you're going to get burned if you believe in it.
Yeah, well, everything costs more in the long run. If you don't, I mean, guess what, Mitch? It's going to cost more if the bridge falls down. And then you, I mean, it's just, that's what's unbelievable. You know, it's this whole healthcare debate. It's like when, you know, you got to go to the emergency room, everybody pays for it. It costs more. It's like, it's just, none of it makes sense, like, financially or otherwise. All right, John and Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Jonathan.
First of all, that was an awesome interview with Duke Yarmouth of Kentucky.
Yes, the Duke. Uh-huh.
Very cool. And just before the break, awesome point by the lady who called in to remind us of the Terri Schiavo hypocrisy. I think we need to hammer on that a lot more. And then a technical question. So, of course,
yes.
Stephanie, you won't be able to help me. I'm going to need Chris's
sure.
help. I'm on the website trying to find the pictures for smoking hot babes in France. And I tried turning left at the gravel road and right at the one.
Wow, you listen.
You listen to the show.
That was yesterday. But sacre bleu, I cannot
They're actually on Stephanie's Facebook page.
Yes.
Do you know how to find that?
On the show's
you
Facebook.
You kids with your Twitter face.
Right? I don't know either. All I know is that Chris gets stuff up a little faster at Stephanie Miller Facebook because he's the only one that I physically can throw a stapler at if he doesn't
right.
get stuff
I need
done.
To set up I need to set up go to meeting with Chris.
There you go. There you go.
Fire up my computer, right. Save everything with Carbonite, and
connect
then
it to your Twitter book page.
I'll freshen myself with cedar.
Thank you, Cedar Side.
Cedar Side.
Thank you. Thank you for that. You're a good boy.
That's
yes,
great.
SexyLiberal.com and StephanieMiller.com, they're in New York, the people that do those, and SexyLiberal Facebook, and
right.
yeah, so that's
and
why I can't throw a stapler that far, so they'll be up there eventually.
And, you know, Facebook has designed it so that it's ridiculously easy to put things up on Facebook.
Yes.
So
yes, Stephanie Miller Show's Facebook page, my vacation in France pictures are up there, because why? Because I would throw a stapler at you.
Yes.
All right.
Exactly.
46 stuff.
Although that picture of you two standing in front of the Eiffel Tower is kind of phallic.
Yes.
Don't ruin it, Chris. Don't ruin it.
47 minutes after the hour. Right back with the remaining moments of Tuesdays with Fugle Sang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
This is Too Weird, Man.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 51 minutes after the hour. John Fugle saying Sexy Liberal in the New York Bureau all 3 hours today. Tomorrow, Sexy Liberal Hal Sparks back in studio for the fifth time quite some time. He's been in Scotland. I was in France.
Mm-hmm. He was with me last week. I had him in for the Unholy Experiment last week on Wednesday.
Yes.
So we had a great time missing you.
Thank you.
Aww.
SexyLiberal.com, SexyLiberal on Facebook. Check it out. Lots of, a thing. Asheville, North Carolina next Saturday. On and on. Seattle, Los Angeles, San Francisco, Austin, Buffalo, Fort Lauderdale, Denver for the big Chris Mahana Kwanzaa show, and then on into 2000.
Yeah, and if you're coming for Seattle, go to our Friday night show because Saturday night's sold out.
Yeah,
Friday 30th.
Same in L.A. and I think same in San Francisco, correct? All Saturday night shows are sold out pretty much.
We'll be flogging those come October. For now, if you want to get into any of these shows, go for Friday, but especially Seattle. There are still some seats available for Friday the 30th.
Thank you. Tiffany in Pennsylvania. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Tiff.
Hey, guys. Hey. Because I'm happy clappy, I had to find a pseudo silver lining in this dark infrastructure cloud.
Yeah.
Last Thursday, my workplace was taken out by a flood because of a dam that broke about a mile up from where we are.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Wow.
Nobody saw it coming. It was horrendous. This is the most, it's a small company. There's about 50 of us that work there. We're like family. We were really secure there. I never thought anything like this would happen, and now within 10 minutes, my job is gone.
Right.
And he's trying to pay us and get everything, you know, taken care of while we're rebuilding, but it's a mess. It's a total mess, and everything can be gone in a second if you don't keep things the way they should be, if you don't upkeep stuff, you know. Well,
right.
Here's my silver lining. I work with a ton of Republicans, and they're looking at this mess. And I said, now do you see the need for infrastructure, you know, maintenance and care?
Right.
They're getting it. They're finally getting
well,
it.
Well, Tiffany, look at Tim
Pawlenty,
you know, the bridge fell in Minneapolis. Like, what do you need, Mitch McConnell? You need this bridge to collapse before, you know?
And that's what happened. I said, now you're looking at this, and this is what has to happen. We all have to be out of a job. For how long? Because, you know, it takes this for you guys to realize that this is important.
Yeah.
I mean, look at how much this is going to cost us.
Yep. I hear you, Tiff. I hear you. Yeah, absolutely.
Preventive maintenance is a lot cheaper than rebuilding after a catastrophe.
Thank you. If you're, you know, a fiscal conservative at all, of any kind.
Yeah.
did you see, dear God, angry, crotchety old Donald Rumsfeld has canceled his New York Times subscription?
Angry old cuckoo.
Jiminy Christmas.
Yeah. He wants to pay for it online.
Cheese and crackers, I hate
that.
That'll
be a monkey's uncle.
He'd rather pay to read it online.
He doesn't know how to get online.
He doesn't know how to get online.
He has people to do that for him.
Damn it.
He writes in the memo margin.
He wrote, after reading Krugman's repugnant piece on 9/11, I canceled my subscription. Oh, that'll sting. Krugman, I mean, I don't understand, honestly, what he said that was so controversial. He said, what happened after 9/11, I think even people on the right know this, whether they admit it or not, was deeply shameful. The atrocity should have been a unifying event, and instead it became a wedge issue.
Hmm.
I mean, they
yeah.
so blatantly used it politically.
But that's what he said, and he called, he singled out Giuliani, and he singled out Bush for profiting off the date. And can I just say, I'm so sick of Glenn Beck and these people talking about how we have to get back to the 9/12 mentality when we all came together. Folks, when a Republican says when we all came together after 9/11, they mean we all obeyed Bush.
Yeah.
You know, post 9/11 wasn't a great time of American unity. It was a horrible, scary time of people that looked like Muslims being beaten up and anthrax coming in the mail and Paul McCartney picking a lot of crappy people for that benefit concert. It was not a beautiful time. It was horrible. And these right-wingers keep on trying to romanticize the period, and Rumsfeld's doing it too.
Yeah, but we're still in that period.
Yeah.
Watch what you say, you know?
Yeah, but back then it was like they think that was an ideal time because all America came together.
Mm-hmm.
What they mean is America did whatever the Republicans wanted to do and the Democrats fell in line. That's what they romanticized.
Like Germany came together after the invasion of Poland. Rather the Poles killed all those Germans.
All right.
Oh, Jim.
And thank you, whoever said I look better standing in front of the Arc de Triomphe than Hitler did. That's every girl's dream.
Were you wearing jodhpurs?
That's a compliment. Thank you. All right.
I bet you look better in jodhpurs than Hitler did.
Why, thank you, Jim.
Yes.
Thank you once again.
Although
thank
they do
you.
Make her look a little hippie. She's a Republican. She can't be hippie.
Representative Gabrielle Giffords will sit down with Diane Sawyer for her first TV interview.
Yeah.
It'll be a primetime special November 14th. Mark that down. I look forward to that.
That's
one.
Fantastic.
Oh, here's something else to look forward to entertainment-wise. Paris Hilton now wants to be a DJ.
That's great.
Superficial writing. She needs to do something as simple as, I don't know, pressing play on iTunes and then pretending you're listening to giant headphones. I don't get being a DJ. Is that a talent?
That's
Is it
hot.
Actually a...
Paris wants to fail in another entertainment medium.
I was
reality
actually...
TV, films, and recording artist career. Those she's done those. Now she's going to fail at being a DJ and then singing scat and puppet shows.
Early in my radio career, I was a club DJ, and it does take a little bit of skill.
It's hard scratching MP3s now.
Chris, you're the best button pusher I know. You know that.
Stop it.
She just wants to date Lindsay Lohan. That's
who doesn't?
By the way, last night we realized after the last debates, Paris Hilton officially has one more facial expression than Michelle Bachmann.
By the way, thank you for all the midlife crisis jokes on the Facebook page. My somewhat younger girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
Headline is, Kate Moss buys Porsche fitness center and a villa in France. No.
You're on your way.
Progressive Radio doesn't pay me that much. She's been on a mammoth spending spree since marrying in July. She ordered a whole stock of fancy wines from Bordeaux to stock up her bulging wine cellar.
God.
Listen, I'm not that dumb. I'm sticking to my box wine. All right. That's it for us. Don't forget Sexy Liberal Hal Sparks back in the studio tomorrow with us for Hump Days with Hal. Thank you, John Fugelsang. Hope to see you.
I got a show at Stonewall in New York City Thursday night. Come on down.
Sweet.
Okay. Sweet. All right. And hopefully we will see John back on Friday. We will see you tomorrow. In the meantime, on the Stephanie Miller Show.